एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू एन एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट ओरिजिनल।
Welcome to Health Charcha, issued in public interest by Medtronic. I'm Deepthi Ahuja, Content and Production Head at HT Smartcast and your podcast host and host on this show. Here we will discuss all of the burning health-related questions you, my dear listener, might have in mind. So, let's begin. Obesity is increasingly being recognized as a worldwide epidemic. According to National Family Health Survey 5, one out of every four Indians is now obese. Obesity has risen from 21% to 24% amongst women and 19 to 23% amongst men on a national level. But obese women are told to lose weight more often, as it also is one of the leading reasons for morbidity and infertility. At times, the issue of obesity can be resolved by simply observing a healthy diet, exercise and lifestyle. Other times, the resolutions can be tricky due to hormonal imbalances. Today, weight loss surgery is on the rise and celebrities are openly opting for it as a perfectly acceptable solution to lose weight. Case in point, actor Rina Roy, who underwent bariatric surgery, the stand-up comedian and artist Bharti, who lost weight before having a baby, too was open about her weight loss techniques like intermittent fasting, having healthy balanced meals, practicing portion control and timing her meal consumptions properly. For that matter, research also suggests that weight loss surgery before pregnancy might lower the risk to women and their babies who suffer from obesity-related problems during pregnancy. In fact, weight loss programs through lifestyle modifications in obese women have been proven to restore menstrual cycles and ovulations, thereby improving the likelihood of conception. So, today, to answer the most commonly asked questions about obesity and its impact on fertility in women, we have with us Dr. Aparna Govil in today's episode of Health Charcha. Dr. Govil is consultant bariatric surgeon at Saifi Hospital, Mumbai. Hi, Dr. Govil. Welcome to Health Charcha. Kaise aap?
Hi, Deepthi. I'm very good. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming. So, Dr. Aparna, obesity comes with its own stigmas, right? As a result, approaching someone to understand whether or not we suffer from obesity could mean maybe exposing ourselves to those stigmas. So, how can a person determine for themselves first if they are obese or even overweight? Can one determine such things just by physical appearance?
So Deepthi, actually determining whether one is overweight or is suffering from obesity is quite simple. You don't really need to visit a hospital for knowing that. There is a parameter called as body mass index. And this is a very simple formula. It is basically weight in kilograms divided by height in meter square. So suppose if your height is 165 centimeters, so you take it as 1.65 into 1.65. Mm-hmm. And the weight is divided by this and you get a certain number, which is your body mass index. Okay. These formulas are very easily available on the internet as well. So there is a gradation based on BMI. And if the BMI is, say, between 18 to 23.5, yeah, then it's considered as normal, okay? If the BMI is between 23.5 to 27.5, then the person comes under overweight category. Hmm. If the BMI is between 27.5 to 32.5, then that would classify as grade 1 obesity. 32.5 to 37.5 is grade 2 obesity and 37.5 and above would be grade 3 obesity. So it's very easy to know that. Of course, it's not a complete, it doesn't give us a complete clinical picture, but at least it gives some direction into where a person is heading.
Right. And it's not just about physical appearance, right? It generally affects our health, our physical health also very badly.
It's not at all about physical appearance. Yes, that is a part of it. But obesity is one condition. It's a chronic condition which affects each and every organ in the human body from head to toe. Mm. So right from increased risk of strokes to increased risk of heart attacks to increased risk of diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol. Then there are so many other issues related to lungs and liver. In fact, obesity is now a very common cause of cirrhosis of liver.
Oh.
And people with obesity live with something called as obstructive sleep apnea, with a lot of breathing difficulties. There are a lot of knee joint issues, back pain, and mobility issues related to this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, other issues which are specific to women, about which I think we will be talking a little bit later.
True. On that note, you have to tell us about the relationship between obesity and reproduction. What is this relationship? How does this work?
So this is a very, very close relationship, and it begins very early in a woman's life. So it is also now known that children as young as 5 years old.
Hmm.
So when there are, we're talking about girl children. And once they cross the age of 5, we see that their total energy expenditure goes on decreasing as compared to boys. And they tend to gain more weight. Once they're more predisposed to gaining weight, they also become something called as insulin resistant.
Okay.
And that is the basic cause for developing many other conditions like polycystic ovarian disease and many other issues. So these affect the menstrual cycles, and PCOS actually is very closely related to obesity and subsequently infertility as well.
Mm-hmm. So can obesity then cause infertility or miscarriages? Is there a relationship there, Dr. Aparna?
Yes, there is a relationship there, and obesity can lead to infertility in many women. In fact, we get a lot of patients from infertility clinics because their first requirement is to lose weight.
Mm.
Because if they lose weight, they remain insulin resistant, and they also have very high levels of male hormones as well. Right. So they are not only insulin resistant, they also have something called as hyperandrogenemia. Mm. And these, along with polycystic ovarian disease, it leads to many menstrual irregularities, and subsequently it can lead to difficulties in conception. In fact, it is also seen that even patients who are trying for artificially assisted therapies for reproduction, like IVF and IUI and things like that, even though they don't respond as well if they are overweight or they are living with obesity. So we actually see that once they lose weight, they conceive quite easily. So also, if they conceive by some chance, if a person is overweight and obese and they conceive, there are a lot of problems that they can face after conception. So number one is definitely, like you said, there is a high risk of miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
So miscarriage risk is very high in patients with obesity. Even if they were to continue with the pregnancy, there are a lot of risks for the mother as well. So she is very highly predisposed to developing diabetes. We call it gestational diabetes during pregnancy.
Right.
She can also develop high blood pressure during pregnancy. And both of these are not very good for a pregnant lady as well as her baby.
Mm.
There are also very high chances of not having a normal delivery. So these women would be in for a cesarean section most of the times. And one of the saddest part of this whole overweight, obesity, motherhood is also that the child that is born is also very highly predisposed to gaining weight and subsequently developing diabetes in future.
Oh. And heart defects and all of that are also a part and parcel.
Yes, so there can be those issues as well. But overweight and diabetes are definitely on top of the charts.
That's grave. But, doctor, oftentimes it's insisted that a woman suffering from obesity should lose weight by exercising and dieting alone. Sometimes it helps, but other times, these methods are just a lost cause. What should one do in a situation like that? How can they lose weight if they can't lose weight just by exercising or dieting or taking care of their meals?
Right. So, see, there are I think a person who has all these issues and the goal is to conceive, I think first thing that they need to do is to visit a qualified weight loss specialist, you know, to seek advice. Because what happens today is that most people go on the internet, they look for this advice and that advice and try and follow it. But they don't have the wherewithal to understand everything. There is a lot of wrong advice as well on the internet. So it is important that they see a qualified weight loss specialist, which could be a nutritionist, it could be a bariatric surgery team, depending on the weight, etc. Now, when we talk about weight loss options, it all depends upon how much is the weight. So if the weight, if the person is only overweight, like their BMI is between 23.5 to 27.5, or let me make it easy for you, somebody is just 10 to 15 kgs overweight, definitely a weight loss diet will help that person, right? But if the weight is more than that, suppose if your ideal body weight is 60, but the person is 85 to 90, right? They're about 20, 25 kgs overweight.
Right.
You may need something little more than a diet, which could be maybe medications. Nowadays, we have certain medications that can be used to lose some degree of weight. But if your ideal body weight is 60 and you are currently at 120 or 110 and you are almost 50 or 60 kgs above your ideal body weight, then in that kind of a population, surgery is the only thing that works, bariatric surgery. So it all depends upon at what stage of the disease they are in. So we call obesity a disease like any other, like diabetes or hypertension.
Absolutely.
So again, lesser the quantum of the disease, that way the treatment would be advised. But greater the disease, more severe the treatment.
Understood. What are the different kinds of bariatric surgeries that are there out there?
Yes. So number one, I would like to start by telling who are the people who are actually eligible. So anybody with a BMI or body mass index more than 35 is eligible for a bariatric surgery in India. Anyone with a BMI more than 30 with maybe two or three comorbidities like diabetes, hypertension, sleep apnea and cardiac problems, they would be eligible. So these are the patients who would be eligible. Bariatric surgery is done by laparoscopy, which means that it is a minimally invasive surgery where we make three or four tiny little cuts on the abdomen. These cuts are very small, about half a centimeter to 1 centimeter. And then a camera would be inserted through this, and the surgeon would see the whole thing on the screen and then do the surgery. These are surgeries that are done on the stomach and sometimes also on the intestine. So depending upon that, there are different types of surgeries.
Right.
One of the commonest surgeries is called a sleeve surgery, a sleeve gastrectomy. In this surgery, what is basically done is that the stomach is vertically divided and it is converted into a long, narrow banana-shaped tube. Okay.
Oh.
So to give you a sense, normally the capacity of our stomach is about 1500 cc. And after doing the surgery, the stomach is like a narrow tube, which is about 60 to 80 cc in capacity. So it becomes that small. So that is the sleeve surgery. Then there are a couple of other surgeries in which we also reroute the intestine. It would be difficult to explain it just verbally, but
that's okay.
Essentially, a stomach is made small and the intestine is rerouted and attached to the stomach. Okay. These are basically called as bypass surgeries, and they are usually stronger than the sleeve surgery, leading to more weight loss, less weight regain, and better resolution of comorbidities like diabetes and all the other issues. So these are the two main types. Of course, the surgeon would see the patient, evaluate, and then take a call as to which surgery would be suitable for which patient.
Right. And there's something about a band also, right? Like a gastric band surgery.
Band is now quite out of fashion. It was very popular about 15 to 18 years ago. Patients didn't really do that well with bands, especially because in India, our diet is really carb rich, you know, so we our puris and bhaturas and dosa.
And I'm hungry.
So wo band didn't really work that well with such a high carbohydrate rich diet, you know. So bans are not being done. In fact, world over, the frequency of banding has gone down quite a lot.
Speaking of hunger, like, I mean, are these surgeries actually done to sort of curtail your desire to eat? Is that how it works?
So that is one of the ways. Surgery has multiple mechanisms of action. And people feel that it's only because it makes you eat less and they lose weight. That's not true, because most people, if you meet them, say 1 or 2 years after the surgery, they would eat as much as a normal person. So yes, there is a decrease of food intake initially, to a very large extent. In fact, the person may not be able to eat more than half a roti at one time. Okay. They feel full very early. So if they are eating, the stomach is so small that even if they eat half a roti, they feel like they've eaten full stomach. Okay. Third thing is that they don't feel hungry, because the hunger hormone levels decrease a lot after surgery. So this is proven that 80% of the hunger hormone goes down after bariatric surgery. Then there are, in our small intestine, there are hundreds of hormones which lead to many effects. So some of these can have effects on satiety, some of these can have effects on hunger, some of these act on our brain, they increase cravings. But with bariatric surgery, what we see is that the levels of all these hormones go down. And eventually, once a person starts losing weight, insulin is a very important hormone in our body, and that starts going down. I mean, with fatness, we become very resistant to insulin. But as we start losing weight, we start becoming insulin sensitive. And that also plays a role in weight loss. There are many other mechanisms. If I go into details, I think it's above everybody's head. So, but I can tell you that there are multiple ways in which surgeries work. And that is why the result is so dramatic. People lose 50, 60, 70 kilos, depending on how much weight they have. And they do really well. And they are able to maintain it in the long term.
And now for the $1 million question. Are these surgeries safe? And the other $1 million question is, when would be the ideal time of getting pregnant after bariatric surgery? So if you could just tell us briefly about these two things.
So these surgeries are safe. They're as safe as any other surgery, right?
Okay.
Now, there is a small risk which comes with any procedure. You take a paracetamol also, there is a risk of side effects.
Yep.
So surgery definitely has a small risk associated with that, but it is in general very safe. In fact, now that it's being done laparoscopically, patients up and about within 4 to 6 hours after surgery, they go home the next day, right? They get discharged. So it is quite safe. And also what I always tell my patients is that you have to evaluate the risk and benefit ratio of remaining in that condition of obesity. If you are like that and you don't get treated, then you have so many other risks. You have the risk of diabetes, you have the risk of high blood pressure, you have the risk of cardiac events, strokes, you may be in for knee replacements and so many other things, you know. So in comparison to that, I think the risk of surgery is definitely worth taking. As far as women are concerned, especially in the reproductive age group, I think the guidelines normally say that they must wait for at least 12 to 18 months after surgery. So, because what happens is initially when they have surgery, they're not able to eat too much.
True.
So, to have, to sustain that nutrition for yourself and for the baby, it doesn't match at that time. And second thing is that that is the period for active weight loss. If you were to conceive within that period, then even the weight loss would be hampered. So the whole objective of surgery would be lost.
True.
So ideally, 12 to 18 months is what we would need.
Makes a lot of sense. So what is the success rate of conceiving after, a successful bariatric surgery? Surgery has happened, a person has lost weight. What is the success rate of conceiving?
So what we normally see is that once a person loses weight, then their fertility increases. And even patients who've been struggling with infertility for, say, almost a decade, they tend to do very well with weight loss. And they tend to conceive quite fast, you know, because there's so many hormonal changes that take place after bariatric surgery. And they're losing weight so fast that they become really fertile. And many a times they can conceive even without any help. So there could be natural conception. If not, even with assisted reproduction techniques, the chances of success become much better after losing weight.
Right. I have some figures in front of me. Can I ask you if they are correct? Right. I read somewhere that about 62% of infertile women with obesity, they succeed in conceiving after bariatric surgery. Then there's another study that, you know, we went through, actually 18 studies that were published, I think, in 2020, that reported that bariatric surgery improves hormonal balance and sexual function in both male and female, and sperm count in males and pregnancy in females, right? It improves the chances. So is all that correct, or is this just, you know, gyan on search engines?
These are very scientific studies, and they're definitely correct.
Right.
And like it is correctly mentioned, that infertility is not just about the woman, it's also about the man, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have couples coming in where the male partner is suffering from obesity and the female has no other issue. So even in those cases, it really helps a lot. So in fact, there are a lot of cases where because of obesity, there could be increased erectile dysfunction and things like that.
Oh.
And they also tend to improve after weight loss.
Well, so there is some light at the end of this tunnel, right? Thank you so much, Dr. Goel, for sparing the time to speak to us about obesity in relation to infertility, the various ways in which the issue can be managed and possible results that can come out of it. Thank you so much.
Totally my pleasure, Diti. Thank you so much.
And to my listeners, all I wish to say is obesity is a disease. There are several factors that cause it, and sometimes exercising, managing a healthy lifestyle and a balanced diet isn't enough. So if you're in such a situation where you've tried everything possible to lose weight in order to conceive, consult a doctor now before you reach your wit's end. And remember, it's not your fault. You just need some professional help to lose weight, to have a baby, to get your life back on track. This is a public awareness initiative supported by Medtronic. Views expressed are independent views of Dr. Aparna Goel, intended for general information and educational purposes only. They do not constitute any medical advice. Please consult your physician for any questions or concerns you may have regarding your condition. The doctor makes no recommendations or endorsements of any products or services. That's it for this episode. If you want to know more about the diseases discussed in this podcast, please initiate a discussion with your physician. To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com.
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.